I am glad to inform you that here in the studio, I already have Dr. Santino Ayuel Longar, who is famously here, always on our round table. But today he have just joined us here to share his own experience about the 12 years since we got our own independence. Good afternoon, Dr. Santino, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation on your busy day today. Thank you very much, and happy independence to you.
Thank you, Zani Martin. Happy independence to you, and thank you for having me for this show.
Yes, here's our own analyst. We have been having you throughout the program here. First of all, how would you describe the last 12 years since we got independence, despite all what the country is going through? How would you describe it?
Independence, by nature, is a natural state of humanity. To be free is a natural right. One of the the United States and France were the first to document to adopt important documents, the French document being called the Declaration of the Rights of Man and the Citizen, and the Constitution of the United States. Both were adopted in 1789. Both documents talk about the nature of freedom of humanity, that all men and women are born free, equal, and independent. These two documents capture exactly the essence of humanity as it emanates from nature. So the independence that the people of South Sudan have gained is in the same measure. The documents that I've just talked about, when they say men are born free, equal, and independent, this document did not invent anything. They declared only what has existed since time immemorial in as part of human nature. And so they did not invent any political ideals. This was simply a codification of our essence as human beings. So we are born free and equal and must exist as such. So the point is that South Sudan got independence 12 years ago. And South Sudan became independent after so many decades. In fact, we go as far back as 1821, when the first invaders, mostly from Turkish Ottoman Empire and in collaboration with Egyptians, invaded South Sudan. And some of them used South Sudan as hunting ground for slaves. Mm-hmm. And so that is when our struggle for independence began, when outsiders came to South Sudan and began to disturb our natural freedom, our independence. And so our people resisted, and then that resistance did not stop, because after the Turks were chased away, came Egyptians and then the British. Now the Anglo-Egyptian Egyptian so-called condominium was established in 1899, and the Sudan got independence in 1956. But even so, through all these years, whether it is beginning from 1821 up to 1956, we continue to resist, and we didn't stop there, because the Torrid Mutiny took place in 1955, mm-hmm. just before independence. And we continue to resist, even though Addis Ababa Peace Agreement was signed in 1972, we continue to fight, because there were people in the bush. Because we think that the Addis Ababa Agreement was a patchwork, is something that was intended to deceive the people of South Sudan, that Sudan was united, but they continue to treat us in the southern part as if we are unequal to them.
Yeah.
And so we continue to fight until 1983, when the SPLA insurrection occurred. And we continue to fight until 2005, when the peace agreement was signed. There was an interim period of 6 years, and then we had our independence referendum in 2011, and in January 2011, and declaration came 7 months later on the 9th of July 2011. So the point is that despite the fact that we have been fighting for all this freedom, our independence, as we continue to celebrate, we don't take it for granted. But the independence has come at a very high cost. Our people continue to suffer. We continue to suffer economic deprivation. We continue to suffer from political oppression from within. And we continue to suffer violence and internal wars. Ordinary people in the villages do not see the sense of independence. But I have high hope that one day South Sudan will actually enjoy the gains of independence. We have fought for it. 3.5 million people have died for it. And we continue to agitate for true independence. Even though we are politically independent, we continue to experience very many painful events in our country. And there is hope that one day we'll really sit down and declare that we are truly independent. And I appreciate the fact that the position of the government not to celebrate this is a recognition that there is something wrong, something that they need to adjust for us to be able to sit down and say, yes, we are independent. Because if we were to declare it today, there are so many people still being killed in their villages in South Sudan today. There are so many people who are being killed on the roads. There are so many people who want a space within this country, but they do not have that space. Until that time, when we say we are truly independent, even though there will never be an open-ended freedom, because freedom comes at a cost too, yeah. So it has to be curtailed. But the relative freedom that we see in many other countries should be reflected in our Republic of South Sudan today.
Yes, I want to combine two questions in one. One is, I wanted to ask, I don't know whether you have answered it. The government says there will be no national celebration because of the factors they mentioned. One, according to the Minister of Cabinet Affairs, they will really want to celebrate this Independence Day when they have a unified force, when the agreement, some of the basic articles within the agreement is fully implemented. At least they will have now that capacity to say, okay, let's go on and celebrate this. In your opinion, do you think that was the right decision to take? And secondly, is you said you have high hope. What will it take for your hope to materialize and ensure that all your aspirations plus many South Sudanese come true? And who should initiate?
The rationale, thank you, Martin, for that question. The rationale for not celebrating independence in a formal way is not correct, because they are talking of unified forces. This is the fourth year during the agreement was signed in 2018, and unified forces were supposed to be forces were supposed to be unified 8 months from the day the agreement was signed.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened simply because there is lack of political will. Because there are obstacles to this, and these obstacles are being put in the path by the partners themselves. If there was political will, they would have been able to unify our forces today. So if we are waiting for unified forces in order to celebrate, we may never celebrate it again, because there will always be people who are not part of the unified forces. So the question shouldn't be about unified forces. It's about whether the people of the leadership is able to exercise its fiduciary responsibility. They have a role to make sure that to provide healthcare, to provide education, to provide roads, to provide security. If these things are really being enjoyed by the people of South Sudan, then there is a sense of for us to say we are celebrating. So they cannot say that, you know, it's because forces have not been unified. After all, when it comes to other religious observance, they have always made resources available for Muslims, for Christians, and then they make the argument we do not have resources to celebrate. No, I don't think that is the right rationale. That is a coincidence here. In my view, I think there is no need to celebrate, but the rationale is different.
And I'm sure you have had the opportunity to listen to the speech of the president yesterday on the national television, or you might have got a copy of that speech. And this year's address of the president is focusing more on peace and stability. And he is also calling on the people of South Sudan to work for peace and unity as we mark the 12th independence anniversary. What is your take on the president's speech?
The call by the president for the people of South Sudan to work together to realize peace and promote stability is in place. I think that's the right tone, as a right call. As citizens, we have a responsibility to promote peace in our communities, at individual level, in our communities, in our neighborhood, and peace with neighbors in other countries. That's an important aspect. So for us to realize peace, we as citizens and as public officials have to work together to get to where we need to be in terms of peace and stability. But I think the government has a larger role to play, because I think it is fighting over power and resources and all that that has created this obstacle towards our march towards a real peace in this country. And you can see, for example, just on past Saturday, there was a massacre where civilians in a place called Wunkur got together for peace with the forces that are considered to be part of the unified forces, even though they are not integrated. But they sat together and they lured civilians, 60 of them, to a particular place. And once they were negotiating peace, they opened fire on unarmed civilians, killing the deputy peace, the deputy chair for peace and reconciliation in Ruing. And this is part of the problem that we continue to experience, because the leaders are not able to rein, you know, on their own forces to tone down their rhetoric and make sure that all civilians and government officials and regular forces are working together to realize this peace. Because if civilians continue to die in the hands of those that they think should give them the protection, then the question of peace is just elusive.
And like you rightly put it, that this Independence Day is now being celebrated while some people are mourning their loved one who might have been killed, maybe because of armed group or something else. The question people are asking, most part of our independence, nearly three quarters of the years we have spent as an independent country, has not been that people were expecting right from 2011 when we got our independence. In fact, we had only 2 years of peace, and 2013 war broke out in the country, and this has led to massive displacement, killing, and all this. And what will it take for this country to realize that it is now time to work towards peace and stability, and also become like other countries in the world? Because I am very sure, Dr. Santino, when people travel from here, you land, for example, in another capital of another country, you feel relieved and you feel impressed with the way development is taking place. But when you come back to Juba, in fact, when you are boarding the plane coming back to Juba, it's like if you are going to a village.
Sunny, that's a correct premises that you put. You know, what can we do to make sure that we, you know, get to where we wanted to be, that is having a peaceful and prosperous country? And let me say this, you know, the question of leadership is very important. If you have a system in which leadership is not foresighted, is not being guided by the moral responsibility to provide and protect the interests of their people, stability is just an illusion. If you have a leadership in which, you know, let me put it this way, the moral requirement for holding public office, the standard or moral requirement for holding public office in South Sudan has been lowered so much that anybody, you know, just gets to become a vice president, just anybody gets to become a minister, just anybody gets to become a general, just anybody gets to be in important positions in which they are not able to play the role that such position requires. Because if you have people who are less qualified holding those positions, then the country is not moving forward. So when you have people who have been in position of power for so long, you have ministers who have been ministers since 2005 until today. So they get used to power. They get used to resources and they are insensitive to the needs of the people. If there has to be change in this country, we need new faces in each of these public institutions, whether in the cabinet, whether in the army, whether in civil service. We need new blood so that we are able to have fresh ideas. If we continue to have the same players in the system over and over and over again, we cannot expect different result. We continue to see the same results over and over again because the people have in power have gotten used to power and resources, and they have forgotten the role of leading. Because if there are no elections, if leaders do not know that in 4 years' time they will be elected or they will not be elected, if they are afraid of the citizens, that if they don't do the right thing, if they don't listen to the citizens, they will be thrown out by the citizens through an election, then the leaders will not care about the interests of the citizens. So what we need is a change in leadership, is a change in attitude. We need new blood. We need new ideas. If we continue to have the same players over and over again, then next year, after next year, and in a decade to come, we continue to talk about these issues because we're not moving forward.
Yes, and so many displacements have already happened and people continue to be displaced. Do you think it is now the right time for the leadership of this country to embark on reconciliation, healing, so that people can once again live peacefully like what we saw before the war of 2013?
Correct. So the peace agreement, the revitalized axis, our axis, requires the establishment of hybrid court. The hybrid court is supposed to play the role of a court system, bringing justice, bringing reconciliation. I understand that there are difficulties in relation to how accountability can be exacted, because some people argue that if you point fingers at certain individuals, given the polarization that our country has undergone, some people within our country are more likely to take it to an ethnic level, and it is more likely to polarize. So what is the option? It's healing. And it is reconciliation. And so there is a need for us to embark on what South Africa called the truth and reconciliation. So if we do this, by calling upon individuals to confess and to call for forgiveness or others to forgive, I think the country will be able to move forward. The issue of displacement is important, but this country continues to be repulsive in terms of lack of peace, in terms of lack of economic opportunities. And so people who have gone to different countries are not, our own people are not feeling the sense that the country is ready for them, so that they will be able to pursue opportunities for livelihoods in peace and harmony. As long as the environment is not ready for them, they are not coming back. But there is need for us as a country, in particularly the leadership, to lead from the front, not from behind. The need to pacify the country cannot be left to the international community. It is our role as citizens and as a leadership at various levels and traditional authorities and everyone else in between to participate in making South Sudan a better place for all of us.
Who should lead this call by the president, calling upon the people of South Sudan to embrace the spirit of peace, reconciliation, and national unity as we work towards implementing the revitalized peace agreement?
I thank you. I think who should respond to this call starts from the president himself. It starts from the vice president and the government as a whole to mobilize people around the need for us to rebuild the country. And it starts from the president all the way to traditional authorities. The youth, the women, and everyone else in between has a role to play. But I think the most important role can only be played by the leaders, because they are the ones who start the war and they are the ones who are supposed to end it. It is upon them to make sure that they lead this peace process. So religious leaders, political leaders, and traditional authorities, youth and women, and development partners, and many other people who are interested in supporting us are called upon to participate in making sure that South Sudan gets to be a stable country.
Yes, and finally, Dr. Santino, as we mark the 12th anniversary. What should be done now as we begin the 13 years of this independent of the Republic of South Sudan? What are some of the recommendations, if you are to give to the leaders of this country, to ensure that we get out of the cycle of this violence South Sudan is engulfed in?
The prescription of what needs to be done is embedded in the peace agreement itself. In order for us to be able to move forward, what needs to be done is exactly to do what the peace agreement says should be done. For example, drafting the constitution and passing the Political Parties Act, conducting census, conducting elections, and embarking on building a country through the peace and reconciliation process. So if these things are done, and then people go to elections, and then the cycle of interim government, or you call transitional government, can come to an end. But if these things are not done, you will hear next year, because we're supposed to have elections in December next year.
Yeah.
But if these processes are not undertaken, some people will say, how can we conduct an election that is illegal, because there are prerequisites to that, to the election to take place. If those prerequisites are not taken, and you know that there are people who will never come back if elections are formed.
Mm-hmm.
So they will agitate for the fulfillment of these requirements, and it is their right
so that they can stay in power.
Exactly. So there is a need for the government now, especially the president, to make sure that this requirement, because I saw him in WOW talking to the SPLM when he was endorsed as the flag bearer for the SPLM party in the elections in December 2024. If the president is truly interested in these elections, in moving the country beyond transitional period, then he has to make sure that these prerequisites, the Political Parties Act, conducting census, drafting the constitution, adopting the constitution, and everything else as required by the peace agreement for elections to take place, has to be done. That is what the president needs to do, not talking about the rhetoric of the elections when certain things haven't been conducted, because he's more likely to be criticized. And you saw the analyst Nicholas Hyson saying South Sudan is not ready for elections in 2024, and it is because these requirements have not been met. So that is why it is important for the president to push forward with the agenda of fulfilling the peace agreement.
Any final message of hope to the people of South Sudan as we celebrate this 12th independent anniversary? Any hope? Is there any light at
sure,
the end of the tunnel?
Sure. What our people need to know is that what is actually called independence, mm-hmm. you know, the process of building a nation, building a state, has never been easy. It has always come through blood. It has always come through series of struggle. And so it is important for us to realize that what we are actually going through is a rite of passage of the state and nation building. But there is hope. There is hope because South Sudan does not need to invent the wheel on how to build a state. Other countries have gone through, and so we should simply copy and paste, you know, with modification, what other countries have done in order for them to be independent, to be prosperous, to be peaceful. And so there is hope that all these processes shall come to pass someday. And it is upon all of us, the citizens, the leadership, you know, and the international community, to work together to build that South Sudan. South Sudan is blessed with water, with water resources, with the natural resources, with agricultural land, with so much potential that if we work to... Did you realize that, Sunny Martin, that in 2013, South Sudan had the highest income per capita in the region, meaning that it was the richest country until we embark on a disastrous... called, you know, this process called war is what brought us down. But we were on the path to becoming the richest country in the region. So there is so much hope. If we put down our guns, our assets, and begin to fight for peace, for reconciliation, for healing, for a prosperous country, I think South Sudan will be the proudest country in the region, and will be a model of perfection across this continent. Thank you.
It's always good to talk to you, Dr. Santino Ayuelongar. Thank you so much for coming, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandy Martin, for always having me. I appreciate that.
And that was Dr. Santino Ayuelongar, who is an analyst here and also an academician, and he was talking to us here on this 12th anniversary. My name is Sandy Martin.